Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Regarding, because he usually sues people. That's kind of his thing. He likes to sue people that say things about him that he doesn't like. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
We'll get into that story. Of course, your calls and thoughts about whatever you want to discuss. And to the phones we go. First up, Alu is on the line, the publisher over at Liberty Block, libertyblock.com, great New Hampshire-based freedom website, pro-independence. But that isn't necessarily why you were calling tonight. Alu, what's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
A few things. The other night you were talking about Judaism, and it is pretty complicated. I know that some of the Jewish divisions are against the vaccine mandate, some are against the vaccine, some are against most vaccines, and some are pro-vaccine.
Yeah, it was a lady that called into the show that kind of really brought this up, and of course, you know, we're not experts here, so she was making claims, and I thought, well, wait a minute, I've heard that some of the Hasidic Jews in New York City are completely against a lot of this vaccine mandate stuff. At least they were out in the streets protesting over mask mandates and lockdowns and things like that, and I thought, wow, those guys are pretty awesome.
But then they had this massive funeral during the middle of a lockdown.
Yeah, they did. It was
amazing. I thought it was a wedding. Or was that more than one?
All of those things. Yeah, they do all of those things. It's just
hardcore.
Yeah, the Jews are very, very interesting. I mean, there's a tremendous community, kind of like Christianity, where there are 1,000 different types and 1,000 types within each one. So I grew up ultra-Orthodox, what you'd call like Litvish, so not necessarily, not Hasidish, not Sephardic. So Litvish, kind of one of the normal common divisions.
None of us have any idea what any of those things mean.
Hold on, can you spell that word, lit what?
Litvish, I don't know, L-I-T-V-I-S-H, it essentially means like, European, I guess, not Hasidic.
Was that the one she was talking about, the lady that called
possibly,
in?
Possibly. I mean, there are so many types. She mentioned Lubavitch, which is, I think, a type of Hasidic.
Okay.
And Lubavitch are very interesting, sometimes very intense. Sometimes they don't keep all the stuff, but sometimes they're extremely intense Orthodox Jews.
Now, you grew up in New York City, too, right? Like, you were
in Lakewood, New Jersey. Yeah, well, I was religious in Lakewood. I wasn't religious by the time I left.
Okay.
But in Lakewood, New Jersey, it's a very, very intense community. Some divisions, some types of Hasidic, also some other types of Jews there. So, and again, interestingly there, we, almost everyone got the vaccines when I was raised. My parents gave us pretty much all the recommended vaccines, but my first cousins, my first cousin right there in Lakewood married a woman who was 100% anti-vax, and none of their kids got any vaccine ever and ever will. So I remember my mom saying, like, they're pretty weird, but, you know, same exact type of Judaism, maybe a tiny bit different, but there are some Orthodox Jews who are just at the same level of intensity, like fully 100% obey all the laws of the Torah, but there are some that totally do not get vaccines. I don't know if it's because researchers use on fetal cells. I don't know. It might be other reasons. And then there are some Jews who also, like my mother's father, who was also, you know, very observant Jew, observed all the stuff, didn't believe in hospitals. And until he was, like, just about dying of cancer and septic, he refused to go to a hospital. He said he would pray, and God had his back. So a lot
it
of
makes sense.
Hospital.
I mean, that sort of, you know, fracturing exists among Christianity as well, where some Christians are against all vaccines, some only against some vaccines, some aren't against vaccines at all.
Some are against, like, hospitals and, like, wearing glasses and any kind of external modification to their health.
Almost like
it makes me feel silly
or,
to refer to Jews as a single religious denomination, because obviously it would be silly for me to refer to Catholics and your Southern Baptists as though they're just one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. So I just wanted to clarify that a little bit. Like, they're so different. I mean, and they, a lot of them, almost every type, especially Lubavitch, they listen to the rabbis. If they're, like, chief rabbi of their synagogue or their entire sect, almost like the Pope, like if the rabbi in Israel of all the Hasidic people or something says something, almost everyone will listen 100%. So if they say do a certain thing, if they say get the vaccine, I think almost every Jew of that sect, or maybe every Jew altogether in the world, will get the vaccine. If they say don't, almost every one of them won't. Now, it gets very interesting because a lot of the rabbis are around half and half, maybe a split 50-50, I don't know, but a lot of them are saying get the vaccine. A lot of them are saying don't get it. So, yeah, like you saw in New York, a lot of them protested, which is great, but a lot of the rabbis are recommending it. So both are right. So when that lady called and said a rabbi recommended it, she's right, and the others are also right. A lot of rabbis are not recommending it, so it's very interesting. But yeah, speaking of corona fascism, I don't think I ever mentioned it on the show yet. I wrote a whole book called Corona Fascism, and it's based on like my 10 years in emergency medicine and what I saw and what I saw in my research and everything, and in New Hampshire with Dictator Sununu going crazy. So it's a whole book, and it's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all over, called Corona Fascism.
And so your Alu Axelman, Alu Axelman, by the way, for listeners that don't know.
Can you find the books on thelibertyblock.com?
Yeah, it'll link to Amazon. The only place to buy it besides for in person from New Hampshire is on Amazon or Barnes & Noble's website if you prefer that.
I think it's just Liberty Block, not the Liberty Block, right? It's libertyblock.com?
Yeah, it's libertyblock.com. Yeah.
And check him out. He does his own podcast as well. It's on LRN.FM. Of course, you can download it and watch it live. Now, I am curious. You may be curious since, you know, you're calling in about religion. You said that you weren't religious when you left New Jersey. Are you no longer a follower of Judaism?
No, I'm agnostic atheist now. Okay. I was raised ultra-Orthodox Jew. By the time I was around 13 and a half, 14, I was totally leaving and didn't really believe anymore. And at that time, I asked my mom to let me leave, and eventually she gave in and let me move to Queens to my dad. Then I was there for 10 years. I was not religious. Then as I started to realize what New York was, and as Cuomo and de Blasio radicalized me into an NCAP, I moved to New Hampshire in 2017.
What is wrong with these libertarians that are still in New York City? Are they just that delusional that they think they can change things?
I don't know. I've been asking them for a long time, and I still have a lot of friends in the Libertarian Party of Queens and New York and conservatives, and they are in denial that they still think they can save New York, and they call me a sissy for running away from
in
New York. And yeah, well, they call me the P word, but I don't want to get to my
own
toilet.
Well, they think they can save the whole country, right? We just have to get one libertarian president, and that will change everything. Even though
the Republicans and libertarians, I've been yelling at them for the Republicans because the GOP, number one, they are Democrats. They're almost the exact same 100% GOP in New York, but and they're never going to win. But even if they do win, then they're not any different anyway.
Right.
All the libertarians, like my friend Larry Sharp from Queens, he's run for governor. He's going to run again. He raised $500,000 last time, got 1 or 2%. I love him. He's my friend. He's a great libertarian, but he's never going to save New York or make it gold. He's going to make it libertarian. If he moves to New Hampshire, he could do phenomenal.
Yeah, he could win.
He could win some state
rep,
and then, you know, be governor here. So I've been telling him to move here forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I saw some sort of fundraising thing for him again, and somebody posted it online, like, you're crazy to give this guy money. You're crazy to throw – just go ahead and set the money on fire. I mean, you know, like, if you actually –
it would be equally as effective.
Yeah, if you actually want to have an effect on freedom, then give money to the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. Give money to any state rep candidate or Liberty Senate candidate. Were you trying to say something there, Bob?
I was going to say, I don't see how moving to New Hampshire is the, you know, wussy move in this situation. It seems like staying in New Hampshire, I mean, in New York, just to be told to shut up anytime you open your mouth is more of a cuck move.
Mm. You know, of course, what they say is I'm running away from the fight. You know,
no, this is the fight. There's no fight there.
Yeah, the fight there is already lost, and it's been lost for, you know, however many generations.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of giving money to things that actually make sense, like instead of donating to Larry Sharp or Wendy Longshot, who's running against Chuck Schumer in the
Senate.
That's
really her last name? Is her last name really
Wendy Long? Wendy Long, but I call her Longshot. When she runs against the Senate leader and gets 10% as a Republican, yeah, it's a long shot. So instead of doing things like that, they should send money to, like you said, FSP, NHLA, Foundation for New Hampshire Independence. But also, if they use Amazon Smile, if you go to smile.amazon.com, you could put in the Free State Project or Foundation for New Hampshire Independence, and I think also the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance is a nonprofit on Amazon Smile, and at no cost to you, Amazon will donate, I think, like 1% or a tenth of a percent of all the purchases you make on Amazon. They'll donate from Amazon to that organization. So I obviously do it for the FNHI right now, but I also do it for the FSP. I kind of rotate every few months. But now with the FNHI, I should do that, obviously.
That's the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence, which are you the president
everyone
now?
Does that. It would help a ton.
Are you now the president?
Yeah, president
of that.
Yeah, president and chairman of the board, I prefer.
Cool.
I just gave my parents a book by Alu for Christmas because it's a really good like introductory book to understand why secession is the only answer. And since they're conservatives, it really does kind of like lean towards explaining things to a conservative.
What was it called? Do you remember?
Do you remember what it's called, Alu?
Yeah, the Blueprint for Liberty.
The Blueprint for Liberty.
Blueprint for Liberty. Thanks, Alu. Appreciate your call tonight, man. Thanks for sharing and clearing all that stuff up. Poor bastards in New York City. They need to get a clue. And New York State, for that matter, and every other state. It's Free Talk Live.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. Open phones, as always, if you want to join us. another definition that I recently heard was changed by Merriam-Webster.
Oh.
So we were talking earlier about how they changed the definition of vaccine to or from the original definition, which was... You know,
but who changed it? Because people say they, and I think, you know, I don't know, medical textbooks or what?
Probably that too.
Well, that's what I'm always wondering, but it's apparently just... Merriam-Webster.
Well,
Merriam-Webster
means the institution used in this context.
Merriam-Webster is easy for us to check. I don't know how we would check a medical textbook, and obviously they can't change old medical textbooks, so it would have to be in upcoming editions of them, but it wouldn't surprise me if they did that.
It was interesting to know dictionary.com still has the old definition.
Correct, which has to do with the original definition of basically some sort of thing that you take that... that creates an immunity to something nasty. And now the Merriam-Webster's definition is that it just stimulates the immune response, which is different from saying creates an immunity. That's just like, oh, well, maybe it'll fight it, maybe it won't.
Doesn't getting a cut stimulate an immune response? Your immune system responds to it.
Right. So now the other one that they changed was the definition of anti-vaxxer. And also, when I checked dictionary.com, they had not changed the definition there. So their dictionary.com's was still accurate. But Merriam-Webster's definition of anti-vaxxer is now, quote, a person who opposes the use of vaccines or regulations mandating vaccination.
New media versus old media.
Yeah.
The old media is clearly just a state propaganda piece at this point.
Mm. Yep.
But dictionary.com continues to still have actual useful definitions for words that we actually use.
Yeah. Kudos to dictionary.com for that. Of course, you know, ridiculous to say that people who are against mandates are anti-vax.
No, I'm just against mandates.
Some people who have been vaccinated are against the mandates.
Anti-vax now.
Yeah. Exactly. It's so stupid.
That's what they say about Robert Kennedy Jr. for creating or writing a book about the real Anthony Fauci. They call him an anti-vaxxer, even though he's not against vaccines, and I'm pretty sure he got the shot.
Yeah, I think this is a bit insidious now that I think about it, because there are a lot of people who are already vaccinated, but they're just against the mandates, right? But this allows them to blame the anti-vaxxers for everything, and it's not just the unvaccinated people at this point, because anti-vaxxer is considered a square word that no one wants to be. It just prevents people from speaking out against the mandates despite being vaccinated, because now they're defined as being an anti-vaxxer.
Let's go on with your calls and thoughts, and then we'll talk about Craig Wright, the current claimant with the most renown, if you will, or the most infamy.
Certainly the most amount of money that he has to pay to someone over a lawsuit.
Yeah, that's true. Even though he's claiming he won this lawsuit, we'll get into it coming up here in moments. The claimant of Satoshi Nakamoto, the creator of Bitcoin. Is he really, though? Let's go to Richard in New Mexico. Richard, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yes. Albuquerque had another experience last night when two passengers on a Greyhound bus got in a fight. One of them grabbed the bus, dropped the bus's steering wheel, which caused the bus to wreck.
Oh, geez.
The bus went off of the road, hit a power pole, the bus driver's in critical condition, the two people that were fighting are in the hospital with three other passengers. My complaint for tonight is, what are we going to do about security on Greyhound buses and other buses that are on the major highway?
This is an interesting question. And, Richard, thank you for the call tonight. Thanks for bringing that up. It's just a crazy situation that, like, if you're going to have a scrap on a Greyhound, just keep it to yourselves. Don't grab the damn steering wheel of the bus. I mean,
I heard a bunch of people in the...
That's insane. I mean, these people were obviously out of their minds, or at least whoever it was that grabbed the steering wheel, probably like doped out of his mind or drunk or something like that. I don't know the details in this case, but it sounds absolutely horrifying. As far as security is concerned, it makes me wonder, does Greyhound prohibit their drivers from carrying a weapon? Because if they
probably do.
It wouldn't surprise
me. Most corporations do.
Uber certainly does. They don't let their drivers carry weapons.
But you're a contractor. You're not even an employee.
That's right. But they still won't let you do it.
I mean, they think they can tell you to wear something on your face.
Right. So it wouldn't surprise me if you're not allowed to as a bus driver. And that might be something that the drivers need to get together and say, hey, look, we're not willing to take this risk. You know, this could have been us. This could have been me. This could have been any one of us. And, you know, if you let me carry a taser or, you know, something, a knife, whatever they feel comfortable with.
Sounds like Sarah is right about people in Albuquerque not caring if they live or die, because this was a suicide attempt. I mean, he's the one standing up, grabbing the...
It's not just Albuquerque, though. It's Arizona and New Mexico both. And all that sun, it's rotting these people's brains. And
I don't know what it is.
And I mean, some people are immune to it, and they come out okay. But from what I've heard, man, New Mexico, just avoid. Go all the way around New Mexico.
Thank you, Richard, for the call. I appreciate it. The number here, 603-283-6160. So let's get into old Craig Wright here. A story coming out of Coindesk.com out of Miami. Federal jury found Dr. Craig Wright, the Australian who claims to have invented Bitcoin, did not have a business partnership with deceased Florida computer forensics expert Dave Kleiman. But he does owe $100 million in compensatory damages for conversion to a company Kleiman founded in Florida, W&K Info Defense Research.
Sounds like a victory.
Does Wright have that kind of money after all the money he spent on attorneys and lawyers?
I don't know.
He apparently has $70 billion in original Satoshi Bitcoin.
Yet he has never moved a single Satoshi of that Bitcoin.
No, but it would be the most glorious thing ever if he did turn out to be Satoshi and he did pay this $100 million fine that Bitcoin. That would, man, talk about making half the Bitcoin world eat their feet.
Yeah,
that would do it.
I would apologize.
Like, he would have done it by now, right? Like, if he could actually prove he were Satoshi Nakamoto, he would have done it by now.
He's not Satoshi, for sure.
He says, I feel remarkably happy and vindicated. He said in the courtroom hallway, I'm not a fraud, and I never have been. He added that he had offered Kleiman's estate, represented by Dave's brother, Ira Kleiman, quote, $12 million many years ago, which if he had taken that then in Bitcoin, when Bitcoin was $200 and he kept it, you can do the math, he said. Wright testified he was friends with Kleiman.
Who would have turned down $12 million in Bitcoin? I don't believe that in the first place.
If Satoshi was so into privacy, why would he just be like, this man, I'm Satoshi, everyone?
Well, because
make sense.
Wright is delusional.
He wants the attention.
He just sounds excited because him and his lawyers decided, we can spend this loss, this $100 million.
As a win.
We can spend it as a win by, if you make it sound like it proves that you're Satoshi, a lot of people won't look that deep into it, and then you could somehow make money off of that.
So there's more to say about this particular case, and we're going to get into it. It's very interesting about this Dave Kleiman guy, who some people have suggested this Kleiman might be Satoshi Nakamoto, and he died in 2013, which would explain why Satoshi has never moved his coins, because the guy who had the keys is dead. But your thoughts are welcome. 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow.
Or moving slow.
And that most everything costs more these days.
Costs more these days.
But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. The Justice Department is suing the state of Texas over its newly redistricted congressional and state legislature maps. Attorney General Merrick Garland announced Monday.
As the Supreme Court has observed, a core principle of our democracy is that, quote, voters should choose the representatives, not the other way around, close quote.
Garland said Texas violated the Voting Rights Act by drawing redistricting maps that disenfranchise African American and Latino voters.
Three more missionaries from the Ohio-based Christian Aid Ministries have been released by kidnappers in Haiti. The organization says those who returned are safe and in good spirits. The group won't give the names of the hostages or circumstances of the release. Two hostages were released last month. There are still 12 people in captivity who were kidnapped by a gang in October. This is USA Radio News. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki on Monday refused to commit to basic transparency about Hunter Biden's alleged divestment from an investment fund controlled by Chinese state-owned entities, or confirm that the first son's infamous lost laptop is authentic when pressed by the New York Post.
The president's son is not an employee of the federal government, so I'd point you to his representatives. And as it relates to the book, I have neither had the time nor interest in exploring or reading the book.
Go ahead, Tina.
I think I answered your question.
Psaki swatted down a question about Post columnist Miranda Devine's new book, The Laptop from Hell, which was released last week. Former President Donald Trump has tapped Congressman Devin Nunes, Republican of California, to be CEO of his new media and tech company, Trump Media and Technology Group. Nunes will retire from Congress and start as CEO of TMTG in January. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. The phones, if you want to join us, you can. 603-283-6160. We're talking about the case in federal court that just, I guess, wrapped up, but the jury deciding that Dr. Craig Wright, who is the man from Australia claiming to have invented Bitcoin for years now, although he's never proven it, and it would be easy, technically.
It would be so easy, dude.
If he actually had the original keys still. And why the real Satoshi Nakamoto would have lost the original keys to the original Genesis blocks and the original, you know, wallet that holds apparently, like, I don't know, a million Bitcoin or something like that.
It's got to be high. I don't know what the number is, but
it's a lot, yeah. From what I understand. Why that person would not have taken ultra precautions with something like that.
Considering he created this to change the world's financial system.
Yeah, I can understand why somebody in 2009 or 2010, before Bitcoin, you know, started to really kind of get out into the news, before the Silk Road, before it, like, really took off, I can understand why somebody who was, like, a computer geek, and they heard about this Bitcoin thing, and they went in, and they got the mining, you know, thing. They started mining it, and they mined themselves thousands and thousands of Bitcoin back then. But it was only worth, you know, $10 total or something like that. I could understand why that person might have been like, you know what? I'm tired of spending all my computer time on this mining stuff. I'm just going to, you know, delete that.
I still can't imagine it. Now, even in those circumstances, someone that knowledgeable to be mining back in 2009 or whatever, surely they would have at least just, like, written down their private key somewhere.
Maybe, but I could at least give it to them, because they might still not have realized what they had. Whereas the creator of the thing, as you say, the person or persons who is Satoshi Nakamoto, knew what they were doing was intended to destroy the banking system and to undermine government monies all around the planet. They had that vision.
And it's working toward that vision very well.
Yes. Now, they wouldn't have necessarily have known in 2009 whether that vision would catch on, but they had certainly knew what the vision was, and so it would have been a smart move to hold on to the keys to their bitcoins instead of just losing it on some laptop somewhere. I don't even know what the guy's story is. What is it that, like, he must have been asked this, right? By a myriad of these crypto news agencies, right? Like, so ABC News wouldn't know to ask this question, but CoinDesk and Cointelegraph and these other people certainly would. Like, all right, Craig, where are the keys? If you're saying you're the original Satoshi Nakamoto, why aren't you proving it? What is your story? Is he going to claim he lost it in a boating accident or something like that? What's the claim?
If I was Satoshi Nakamoto, first of all, I just don't think that Satoshi Nakamoto would be the type to come out and be like, I'm Satoshi, like that. I just don't believe that. But if it came out or something, I would want people to believe, oh, I don't have the keys. I don't remember anything.
That's an interesting point, Bonnie, and I hadn't thought of it that way. But I think you're also right that the real Satoshi wouldn't be out there pounding the pavement about it. He wouldn't be out there, you know, hollering to people about how he's the real Satoshi, etc.
Wasn't he all into, like, pretty good privacy and other things like that?
Yeah, and the other thing that, to me, says that Craig Wright is not Satoshi Nakamoto is his attitude towards the government. Craig Wright...
So I have a quote from here from Craig Wright about why he won't just, you know, prove his identity.
Hold that for just a moment. But Craig Wright has spoken out against anarchists. He has spoken in favor of government regulation of Bitcoin.
That's right. I'd forgotten about that.
Now, the real Satoshi Nakamoto designed Bitcoin to undermine the entire governmental money system. So
it's in the white paper. How could you write the white paper and then say, oh, I love the government?
Right.
At the very least, in the early newsletters.
So it doesn't make any sense to me that, you know, that Craig Wright would be, unless he's coming at it from your perspective, Bonnie, of trying to, on one hand, claim that he is Satoshi.
I wasn't trying to say that means that he is.
But other things that suggests that he's not actually Satoshi in order to confuse people.
No, I just think that real Satoshi wouldn't come out at all, but if it accidentally came out, then it would make sense to be like, I don't have the keys.
Right.
Craig Wright says, just because you have a private key does not mean that you are the owner of it. In the same way that having a copy of a house key does not provide you with ownership of a house, a key does not provide you the ownership of Bitcoin. Dr. Craig wrote in his latest. Satoshi wouldn't be that stupid. If you have the private key, you do own the house in the case of Bitcoin. And
yeah,
if you let someone else have a copy of your key, they also now own that house.
Yeah, and you're right. I think you're going to get to this, Bonnie. This is a terrible analogy.
Yeah, there aren't deeds to Bitcoin like there are deeds to houses.
The private key is essentially your deed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The private key.
Sorry, the word key confused you.
The private key. Yeah, Satoshi. the private key of a Bitcoin wallet gives you the ability to send the Bitcoin. That is total control over that Bitcoin. Whereas if you have my house key, you don't have the ability to sell the house. You just have the key to the house. You can come in. You can go do the laundry. You might be able to sleep on the couch. But, you know, you can cook yourself some breakfast. But you still don't have the ability to sell the place. You don't have the deed to the house. And
right.
Ultimately, that's the difference here. It's a terrible analogy on his part. And besides, what is that? How does that explain why he hasn't moved the Bitcoin?
He's saying that it wouldn't prove anything if he did.
That's insane.
Except that it would prove that he controls the wallets,
yeah,
that is his,
yeah,
Bitcoin.
It would prove that he was the first person ever,
yes,
to move any of that coin. In fact, he doesn't even have to move it. All he has to do is sign something with it. So with Bitcoin wallets, there's, like, the more, I think, advanced Bitcoin wallets, like
something Satoshi would know how to do.
Yeah, absolutely. They can do something called a signature, a cryptographic signature, basically. So you can essentially sign a statement that with your key that proves you have the key, because the only person who could sign it cryptographically in that way is a person who has the private key. So you don't even have, he doesn't even have to say move the Bitcoin from one wallet to another, although that would certainly prove it.
And it would be a lot easier.
He could just sign a statement, and then as long as it's the same key, you know, that's proof too.
He goes on, your keys in Bitcoin do not provide proof of ownership or identity, except they do provide proof of ownership.
Yes.
At best, keys may be associated with possession. In the realm
of ownership, if not possession.
In the realm of English law, there are many laws associated with the subject of possession, but possession, contrary to popular dogma, is not the same as ownership, and it does not guarantee an individual's identity. I can't believe the journal in question even published that nonsense.
What journal was that?
I don't remember now, and I've already closed it.
Too bad that Bitcoin was created without government permission and therefore has nothing to do with English law.
Yeah, and that's the other thing about him is he's always relying on courts, he's always relying on governments, and he's citing
suing people.
State. Yeah, so he's constantly suing people. If you say something about this man and he doesn't like it, he'll bring a lawsuit. It doesn't matter if he doesn't live where you live. Because, again, he's from Australia. He'll hire an attorney where you live to serve papers and bring a lawsuit against you.
Classic narcissistic behavior.
Yeah. He's out of his mind.
He absolutely is, because as we pointed out repeatedly, if you have the keys, the private keys to a Bitcoin wallet, it is your Bitcoin. You may have an agreement with your friends who share that key with you or whatever, but it's still ultimately your Bitcoin.
Yeah, and what his big answer there, his rambling answer, still didn't answer the question of why don't you just go... Even okay, fine, you're saying you're sharing ownership with this, whatever. I'm not sure exactly what he's trying to say there, but you could still sign a statement with that key and then prove that you're at least partially Satoshi Nakamoto.
Well, except what he's saying is that wouldn't prove anything, except that he has a copy of the key that, you know, belongs to the first bitcoins that were ever mined.
That only Satoshi Nakamoto would have.
Yes, which would in turn prove that he is, in fact, Satoshi.
Yeah.
Or at least was a Satoshi adjacent at the time that the first Bitcoin block was mined.
But has he ever even answered the question of why he won't do that? Like, he just did this.
That was his answer.
That was a ridiculous
answer. But that answer will work in the legal system that doesn't understand all of this. This is why the legal system is like, sure, we'll consider this possibility. And the crypto world is like, dude, that's nonsense.
Yeah. Well, in this particular case, the one that just happened in Miami in federal courts, Craig Wright has been ordered to pay $100 million in compensatory damages to a company that he founded, apparently, with Climate. That's the guy whose family sued him. So Wright was actually the defendant in this particular case, for once. More coming up here. This is Free Talk Live.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to HandgunConversion.com. That's HandgunConversion.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join us for a comment on Craig Wright, the faker who claims to be Satoshi Nakamoto but refuses to prove it because he can't. Or maybe, as Monty suggested, it's an interesting theory.
I didn't suggest that.
Okay, you're saying that if it had come out somehow without his control, that he was Satoshi.
If it was me, then I would be like, I don't have the keys, I don't know what you're talking about, I forgot about those.
But it could be that he's doing what you maybe didn't suggest, but my interpretation of what you said was that he's saying he's Satoshi Nakamoto, but doesn't want to prove it because it would show that he's got the money, and then the governments could force it out of him.
But then what's the point of even telling people that you're Satoshi?
Well, he's getting a lot of attention for it.
He's apparently already rich. What's the point of getting attention?
Well, people who have money don't just want more money, right? Some of them want power. Some of them want renown. They want, in his case,
that's a good question. What does Craig Wright want?
Well, apparently he wants to sue everybody he doesn't like in court, or everybody who has said something mean about him, because he's done
that's
that.
A very un-Satoshi Nakamoto thing to be doing to people.
Yeah, well, a lot of things he does is very un-Satoshi Nakamoto, and but anyway, you can comment here if you want. The number is 603-283-6160. He says he's vindicated and remarkably happy after a court verdict from a jury in federal court that he owes $100 million in compensatory damages for conversion, which is, by the way, a legal term. And it's not exactly like theft.
By the way, as we were talking about going out to the break, he was the defendant in this case.
Correct.
He was being sued. He's been ordered to pay $100 million in damages.
That's right.
And his response is, I feel vindicated. This is a victory. Completely mad,
well,
this man is.
I mean, to be fair, he was not found liable for almost every count in the lawsuit. So there is that. But just so you know what conversion is, because it's one of those terms you don't hear a lot in, like, criminal court. I mean, people are charged
for
that.
I've never heard it.
But, yeah. Conversion is when someone takes your property for themselves or acts like something you own belongs to them. So it's not quite like theft in most circumstances, but it's kind of in the same ballpark.
Taxation is conversion.
Certainly is. So conversion here, according to Coindesk.com, the jury was asked to consider damages in both Bitcoin and dollars, but chose to award the $100 million in damages in fiat currency alone, writing zero BTC on the line for Bitcoin damages. The jury ruled...
Interesting.
Because
that would have been an awesome precedent if the jury had ordered him to pay this amount
in Bitcoin. Let me see what else here. The verdict Wright testified he was friends with Dave Kleiman and that Kleiman helped him edit a white paper that explained the foundation of Bitcoin, but insisted the two were not business partners. Kleiman died in 2013, and his brother brought the federal civil lawsuit on behalf of Dave Kleiman's estate and WNK Info Defense Research. On the verdict against WNK, Wright said it means, quote, "I owe my ex-wife more money," unquote. He was referring to the fact that Kleiman's control of WNK is being challenged in court in Palm Beach County, where Wright's ex-wife Lynn Wright and current wife Ramona Watts each claim to control a third of WNK and are suing Ira Kleiman, that's Dave Kleiman's brother, alleging he didn't have authority to bring the federal suit. So apparently Wright's ex-wife is as litigious as he is.
As is his current wife, apparently.
I mean, they're together on this?
Sounds like it.
It sounds like a disaster is what it sounds like.
These cases have been on hold pending the outcome of the federal suit. It's worth noting the jury was not asked to decide on the identity of Satoshi Nakamoto, the pseudonymous creator of Bitcoin. Both sides in the suit premised the suit on the assumption that Wright was either entirely or partly responsible for the creation of the cryptocurrency, with Wright's defense stating that he alone created Bitcoin and Kleiman's side arguing it was a partnership between Wright and Kleiman. However, Wright's claims to be Satoshi have been widely discredited, and none of them were tested in court.
I love that. That if Craig Wright had just shut his mouth and not claimed to be Satoshi, he would never have gotten sued by someone who said, "No, I helped you create Bitcoin. This idiot brought him this on himself, and I only hope we see more of it from people who were early on in Bitcoin. Punish this idiot."
Well, but apparently they did do something together. So WNK, which is Info Defense Research, the company that he now has to pay in compensatory damages the $100 million to, was involved in, I believe he is the W in the WNK, Wright and Kleiman.
Okay, makes sense.
So these two did know each other, and they did have some sort of an agreement together, apparently. But
I just think it's retarded to think that if the judges were convinced that he was Satoshi or wasn't Satoshi, that he thinks everybody needs to take that as proof. It's just, I mean, not judges, but the jury.
Well, again, the jury didn't look at that question.
Whatever it was that he thinks is proving it.
Well, they don't have to look at it because Craig Wright will tell them, yes, I was Satoshi. The claims here depend upon whether or not, you know, there was reasonable cause, a preponderance of the evidence. I forget what they use in these civil matters.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
To conclude that they could have had, it was like more likely than not that they had some sort of agreement in place along these lines.
The jury was asked to evaluate the following: whether they believed Wright was liable to Kleiman's estate for the breach of a business partnership, whether he was liable to the estate for conversion, whether he was liable to WNK, their joint venture, for conversion, and that's what they found that he was liable of, whether the plaintiffs proved their case for civil theft, whether Wright was liable for fraud to the plaintiffs, whether Wright was liable for the breach of fiduciary duty to WNK, and whether Wright was liable for unjust enrichment against the plaintiffs. Ultimately, the jury found Wright not liable for the majority of those charges.
Who cares what 9 Florida men think about this, though?
I think it's probably a dozen, but...
Oh.
It was, in short, far short of what was asked for, up to $36 billion for the value of Bitcoin in dispute, $126 billion for intellectual property, and $17 billion in punitive damages. That's what the people who were suing him were looking for in this particular case.
I don't know what on earth made them think they could get a settlement that high. Even if the jury had, you know, found Craig Wright guilty of all charges, that would be an insanely massive. That would set a precedent, wouldn't it? Was this hundreds of billions of dollars?
Well, less of a reason to tell a bunch of jurors that you are Satoshi Nakamoto. Oh, I have trillions of dollars. We'll just give him $100 million. He has to only pay $100 million.
Now, strangely, during the jury's fifth week in the courtroom, they decided Wright and Kleiman were not in a business partnership, and thus the plaintiffs are not owed a portion of the partnership's assets, which the plaintiffs believe to include about 1.1 million Bitcoin and intellectual properties such as software. So what does the WNK stand for, if not Wright and Kleiman, and how are they not in a business partnership? They did rule that Wright owes WK Info and Research, or Defense Research, the $100 million for intellectual property, but didn't define what intellectual property they believe that Wright converted. Over the course of the trial, both the plaintiffs and Wright's defense team described a variety of projects, including testnet bitcoins and white papers on subjects, including hard drives and supercomputers, as intellectual property owned by WNK. And according to the story, Kleiman, the living one, the brother, Ira, was not in the courtroom, but told CoinDesk last week that as the case dragged on, quote, I'm depressed. We thought they would return a favorable verdict in a day. Instead, the jury took an entire week to deliberate this this case.
Yeah, but they still just gave your brother's company $100 million, so I don't know what you're upset about, other than the fact that...
He wanted billions.
Yeah. But, dude, it's $100 million. Why does that depress you?
He's a quiet man who's largely avoided the press, while Wright has a host of supporters who are active online. Feeling his side of the story had been drowned out, Ira added a section to the website DaveKleiman.com highlighting details from exhibits in his court case that he hoped readers would see. These include emails Craig Wright wrote to various people saying things like, quote, Dave Kleiman and I started mining in 2009, so we have a few things that will interest them. It's a shame Dave died last year before fruition, but all is moving ahead. I was not the person doing the mining, Dave was, and... Satoshi was a team. Without the other part of the team, he died, unquote. Ira was frustrated that, given such pronouncements, the jury hadn't easily found in his favor.
See, I could believe that Craig Wright doesn't fully control the private keys to Bitcoin because Satoshi Nakamoto is multiple people.
Mm-hmm.
And I will even allow that Craig Wright could be one of those people. But it doesn't seem very likely.
Yep. And he's never proven it, and he's never explained where the private keys are, if he was indeed Satoshi Nakamoto, instead giving a long, rambling answer about why keys aren't proof of anything, which is a lie.
If Satoshi Nakamoto was a group of people, they would have some sort of mechanism in place taken into the inevitability that
someone would die. Right.
Yeah, because that kind of thing happens to humans. They die.
Yep.
And Satoshi would have known that.
It's kind of scary to think of all that Bitcoin being in the police state of Australia.
Well, it's not in Australia.
Well, it's on the blockchain. Yeah. But you know what I mean? The keys.
The keys? We don't know where they are.
Sure,
those may
not
be in Australia either.
I assume they're lost forever.
Yeah, they must be.
Wherever they are.
Unless Satoshi's still out there somewhere and is just, for whatever reason, never moved these things or never plans to. If he or she ever does, it'll be in a momentous day in the world of Bitcoin. But I don't know. I kind of buy the claim that whoever Satoshi is, they died at some point. We're out of time. We'll post this on our social media platform, social.freetalklive.com. See you.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.